And as I was studying this throughout the week, I thought, this is really a good one. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I thought, now today is a good day. We're going to exalt Jesus Christ today. We're going to worship today together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name. Hallelujah. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. God promises. He promises great blessings to his people. But many of these blessings, they require our participation from us. He will set us free. The Lord will set us free from fear. He'll deliver us from shame. He'll guard and defend us. He'll show us his goodness. He'll supply exactly what we need. Sometimes we think it's not going to happen, but it will. Listen, when we talk to him and redeems us, but we must do our part. It's very important. We can appropriate his blessings when we trust him. Cry out to him. Take refuge in him. Fear him. Refrain from lying. Turn from evil. Do good and seek peace. Are brokenhearted and humble, and they serve him. Oh, magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. And let us exalt the name together this morning. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. The word magnify just means enlarge. When we tell God something to when we say to him, I magnify you, we are literally saying, I make you bigger in my life than any problem or situation that I may have. Sometimes we sing a lot of songs and don't realize what the words really mean. When all these words up here, if you would put them all together, and when you're singing, they're from the Word of God, if you would listen to them, and they speak to us in the morning time. We even talk about things that we don't even understand. There's just phrases that sometimes that all of us, we're churchy, and we've learned to pick up those words. Hallelujah. We should magnify the Lord, and that means we should make him larger than anything else in our life. When we worship him, when we praise him, we're doing just that. We are saying, you are so big, so great, that I want to worship you. By putting worship first, we are also saying, you're bigger. You're bigger than any need that I have. You are bigger. Hallelujah. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God. Hallelujah. I believe that when we are worshiping God, at least part of the time, we need to assume a posture of worship. We need to bend at times our knees and bow before him. It is a sign of reverence and humility. It is an outward sign that states our heart's attitude. Hallelujah. Satan cannot see what is in our hearts, but he sure can see how the knee is bent in worship to God. Now, I know some can't, but most of us can. In Philippians 2, 11 and 12, we are told that in the night of Jesus, hallelujah, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue they will confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. One of these days, whether you're in church, whether you're a Christian, one of these days, that's going to happen. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy 2:8, the Apostle Paul, he tells us, I desire, therefore, that in every place men should pray without anger and without quarreling or resentment or doubt, lifting up holy hands. Lifting hands are another sign of worship. Why should we make all these outward signs? Isn't what's in our heart sufficient? The devil cannot see what is in your heart, but he certainly can see our actions, and he can hear our words. And when we can see by our posture and our word that we are worshiping God, the devil starts getting afraid. You need to remember that when we're praying to the Lord. Hallelujah. He knows he cannot deceive and he cannot control a worshiper. Satan can see the outward manifestations of our uplifted hand, and he knows what is going on when we bow down. These are all outward forms of worship. And we know that the outward forms without a right heart attitudes, we know that that's useless. What we need to see is that both work together. Our heart attitude establishes things in the spiritual realm, and our actions and our words establish them in the natural realm. That is the reason why the Bible says that to be saved, we must believe with our heart and we must confess with our mouth that Jesus died and he rose from the dead. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord in your heart, believe, hallelujah, hallelujah, that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes and so is justified. And with the mouth he confesses, hallelujah, and confirms salvation. Be bold. Take some action. Be expressive in your praise and your worship. A lot of people, they even refuse to talk about God. They'll tell you, my religion is private. It's a private thing. Hallelujah. But I cannot find anywhere in the Bible who met Jesus and he kept it private. And he kept it. And that's the same way with us. If we've met Jesus, there's no need for us to be quiet. Hallelujah. The good news about him comes out of your mouths. And when we are excited about praising and worshiping, it is different to have no outward expression. People who sit in the church with sour, somber faces, never moving, expressing any joy, should go through the Bible and study worship and praise and see how David and the other ones, how they worship God. Hallelujah. Worship is not something do God, but it is powerful force that shakes heaven, earth, and hell. Hallelujah. Not only does the devil see the knee bent in true worship, but heaven does also. A worshiper gets God's attention. Heaven is filled with worship and praises. In Romans, the 24 elders, they fell prostrate before him who is sitting on the throne. Hallelujah. And they worshiped him, and they live forever and ever. The scene in heaven this scripture describes is actually repeated several times in the book of Revelation. We pray regularly, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We need to apply heavenly principles to our worship while we are still here on this earth. Become a dangerous Christian. Become a Christ-like. Let your praise outweigh your petition. Trade worry for worship and be aggressive in your expressions of how you feel about the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to praise. We need to love the Lord. We need to give God all the glory and all the honor. We need to not be afraid to stand up and lift up your hands. We need not to be afraid to bend down on our knees and say, oh God, you are Lord. You are Lord. And I confess to you this morning. Hallelujah. And that's the way the Lord wants each and every one of us to be. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Father God, we give you all praise and all glory this morning. We thank you, God, for who you are. We realize, Lord, the battle is not ours, but it's yours, Lord. And God, I pray this morning, if there's any need, I pray that you meet them, Father God. I pray, God, you touch your people in this place, Lord. You know each and every heart in here. I don't, but you do. And oh, I'm so thankful for you this morning. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
So I was talking with my sister-in-law, and we both, like, all week long had been quiet, you know, like, in text. Like, we haven't been talking as much as we usually do, and we both are a lot alike in the sense that when we start to feel like everything is coming at us at once, we don't want to be a burden on other people. We don't want to complain. We don't want to just, I mean, there are a lot of reasons we keep things to ourselves. But we both were breaking at the same time for different reasons. And I told her, the devil's been using my husband to attack me. And she told me, same thing's been happening to her. And it started happening the closer we got and the closer we were getting to God. And like, you know, when you're leveling up in the spirit, that's when the attacks come the most. And so that's what's been happening to her and I, and the rest of our family too, but she and I are the only spirit-filled ones that can talk about this stuff together. So I realized, and I said it to her, and we just started cracking up. And I'm like, Shanna, our weapons are dull. Because, that's why it says, iron sharpens iron. We can't sharpen ourselves, and we're keeping everything in. And, she's like, I can't rebuke him anymore. I'm so tired. And I was like, Shanna, we need to be better about this. We need to, call on each other immediately. And we haven't been doing that. And I know that a lot of us are, falling into those same traps. And it can feel like a cycle. Well, it is a cycle. I know it is for me. And so if we could all just stop worrying about being a burden on others. Everybody's worrying about that. We're all worrying about the same thing. And if we don't just get over it and start calling on each other, yeah, it's never going to change. We need to just sharpen up, man. Because we were about to just break. And do you see there's something that needs to come out of me? Okay, I don't know for sure what it is, but I can tell you that what has been really difficult for me lately is prayer. I can't gather my thoughts. I do have a genetic or congenital brain defect. So what that is my cerebellum, my brain stem. Well, it doesn't fit in my skull. So my brain stem is herniated into my spinal canal. So it affects the way my brain works and stuff like that. And lately, I think the enemy has been using that to make me feel crazy and making me doubt what I have felt for years that I've been healed of. I've been second guessing a lot of things, like my headaches have been coming back. Not exactly the same, but enough to make me doubt my healing. It's been years. And I still will, and it's been days, but I still struggle with THC. Sometimes I get so tired and so defeated, and I just don't want to feel anything anymore. Physically, but also emotionally. So maybe that's what needs to be, I don't know.
Well, I told you, you got a lot going on up there.
Yeah.
And he's the organizer. I want you to go back to Sister Judy, if you don't mind. Sister Trish, would you? The turnaround only comes after the battle. Desperation turns our faith on. And faith is what moves the mighty hand of God. Faith ushers in victory. And yes, a turnaround. Oh, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me. Now, when you turn to this scripture, you better stay there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. My scripture text is 7, 8, 9. There is absolutely nothing that you can do except the fact that God created you the way you are. Unique, precious, and special in the sight of our Creator. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. 8 and 9 reads, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." The reason that we're here this morning is for the latter part of this, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are humanity. We are a human being. Jesus Christ came to this earth to pay the price for us. He came to be in a body just like what we have today. Every temptation known to man was thrown at him. And Scripture says, yet without sin. Yes, even anger. When you want to reach out and touch someone. Not in a good way. Verse number 8. Remember, it's not of you. And there's none of us that are exempt from this. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed.
Amen.
We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down but not destroyed. Several years ago, I preached a series. There's a shaking and rumbling going on. There's a shaking going on. And I don't mean just like an Elijah. Shaken where bones become an army of God. That's the skeleton, that's the flesh. God's able to touch us and minister to us. We may be shaken inside and all around us, but we stand on a firm foundation. We will not be destroyed. If you'll only hang in there. If you'll only hang on. Here we go again, Sister Rose. Patience. We can't get around that. How's it working out for you? I want to make a statement today. that I believe that as we close out this year, and what is our theme for the year? It's only a month away. Then it'll be 26. But I want us to look at this in the realm of our spiritual beings. Because each one of us in our humanity, we have a spirit. And the spirit man cries out, "Holy, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy to be praised. Worthy to be magnified, glorified." Amen. Come on, let's not play patty cake. That statement that I want for you to have today, if it be me, I'd write it down. 11/23/25. And the whole month of December 2025. We're entering into the realm of anointing like we've never known before. We're entering into the realm of anointing. Anointing makes a difference. Anointing not only permeates us, we don't have to go around touching people with oil and stuff, but according to Scripture, that's representation of the Holy Ghost. I believe the anointing is going to be revealed in precious and mighty ways in all of our lives, because we're living in a generation and it takes a special anointing to accomplish shedding and spreading the good news, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Sister Cindy said that there's many of you that are dealing with the same thing as what she is. But think about it. Don't be frightened about the shaking, because there's a good portion that I'm going to share with you. Amen. Don't be frightened by the rumbling. Amen. Going on. You might as well be seated too, Joe. Thanks, brother. You get an attaboy for that one. You lasted the longest, these wimps. I'm still standing, so. When we think about the shaking that's going on around us, you got to remember that we've landed on a shore. We've stepped to our Red Sea. Now what are you going to do? Think about that. The realm of anointing. Go forward. Go in the midst of the enemy. In other words, we need to push down the controls. Don't look back, but keep looking forward. As we say in today's terminology, put the pedal to the metal and get your going. Think about it. The battle is always the hardest right before your breakthrough. Now, I told you to stay there at chapter 4. I want to finish out today reading the New Living Translation. And hopefully it'll be the same as what Brother Paul warned me that it could be a little bit different. But I want to jump up into the third chapter first, the last two verses, 17 and 18. Listen to what the New Living Translation says. For the Lord is Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, there's liberty, there's joy, there's peace, there's comfort, there's a settling, but there's also a motivation there. He's the Spirit, and He'll anoint us to accomplish what we have before us. Verse number 18. So all of us who have that veil removed, in other words, those who are saved, the veil removed from your eyes. No longer do we have the veil covering us, but we see the mysteries of God. We believe them. We preach them. We teach them. We share stories about the mysteries of God. So all of us who have that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. What does that anointing do? Anointing gives us lots of times the hair on the back of our head standing up. That great feeling of insurmountable power and glory. But that's not what it's for. It's so that we can reflect Jesus Christ as Lord. And then verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, since God in His mercy has given us this new way. What? This is His word. It's not mine. It's not my opinion. We never give up. Do you give up? Oh yeah, we want to give up. But God wants us to get going and keep on going. Verse number 2. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. So the next time you got someone that says, "How you doing?" Don't lie to them. Tell them, "I'm here and I'm feeling the anointing." Because the anointing makes the difference. The anointing, the spoken word, just you speaking that. Amen. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden from all people who are perishing. Verse number 4. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is in the exact likeness of God. Oh, now you're going to get into the creation. Tell me about it. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord. We ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. Amen. Verse number 6, for God who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in your hearts, in our hearts, so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse number 7, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars, containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not of ourselves. It's that anointing that makes the difference. That anointing will shake us. We'll do the rumbling, the putting back together, the hearts and the lies in families today, in the church, in you, so that you can be a reflector of Jesus' love, mercy, and grace. Verse number 8, we are pressed on every side by troubles, to say the least. But we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. And lastly, we are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Sure.
Thank you, Jesus. I want to say that I had a dream. I had a dream, and it woke me up because I was behind this window, and it was white. And I was holding it down with all my might. I was holding it down, and outside the window was dark, and it was a cape of a man or something, and it was black, and I was holding up, trying to come in. I'm saying, no, I'm covered in the blood. Jesus, I'm covered in the blood. You're not coming in. Jesus, you're coming in, but that's not coming in. And I'm going to tell you what. I could not do it on my own. I could not hold that window down. But I said nothing could come through the blood of Jesus. And I feel like, and so I said to the Lord, I'm asleep, Lord. I see this is happening. Something's trying to come in. The home. And he can't come, the devil cannot come in our homes. We're going to cover ourselves in the blood of Jesus. And so you know what happened? I couldn't do it on my own. I couldn't hold that down. I couldn't hold the window down. So I said, Lord, I give up. It's yours. It's yours, Lord. It's yours, Jesus. And that left. It's going to leave. You got the victory. You've got the victory in Jesus' name. We have the victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You are so thankful. Last days, no matter what comes at us. But you know what? Because Jesus is covering us and he will fight our battles. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We got a picture for you. The thing that we must remember is that we must enter into the realm of that anointing. And yes, you could probably say the end time anointing. Sister Tracy alluded to it. And I remember back as a Methodist. And I say that with tongue in cheek. Every service, you had to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. When you start to think about the realm of anointing, you have to start to think about the rumbling and the shaking that's going on. The Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught his disciples this prayer. He told them, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We're the vessels to usher in the heavenly realm for these last days. We'll have victory, and it will be victorious celebration. Why? Because we're no dummies. We need to thank our Maker. Even when we don't feel like it, we need to thank Him. You had another song, didn't you? Holy Spirit, why would we finish out with that? Come on, worship team.